Well, last time we considered the life of Joseph, we considered how the Lord delivered him from prison and brought him into Pharaoh's house to interpret his dreams. And Acts chapter 7, we've read that God was with him and delivered him out of all his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. So in response to Pharaoh's dreams, Joseph was then appointed to gather up the grain in the 7 years of plenty to be stored for when the 7 years of famine was to follow, that the land may not perish during the famine. And in chapter 41, we read that Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. And when the famine began to come, Joseph gathered all of this. The only place there was bread was in Egypt. The Egyptians cried out to Pharaoh for bread, and he said, "Go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do." He was the one man who, the only man to deliver the people from physical death and sustaining natural life. And just like Jesus Christ, who is the only one to go to, who delivers people from spiritual death, bringing and sustaining eternal life. Now this evening we come to chapter 42 and the first 15 verses of chapter 43 of Genesis, which is the account where Jacob sends his sons down to Egypt to buy bread. They return back home to Canaan, and then how they go back to Joseph in Egypt. So let us look at our text under these three headings. First, the fear of the future. And secondly, the consequences of sin. And finally, the faith of certainty. In verses 1 to 5, chapter 42, we're told that Jacob saw that desperate need to go to Egypt for food. His family could not carry on in the wilderness when there was a famine in the land. He must send them to buy grain. So 10 of Jacob's sons travel south to Egypt with their donkeys, and Benjamin was kept at home. Why did Jacob keep Benjamin with him? Jacob was afraid that what had happened to Joseph might happen to Benjamin as well. Jacob told his sons that he was afraid some calamity might befall him. He had lost his son Joseph when he was under their care. They showed him the so-called evidence of Joseph's torn blood, stained tunic, which was to prove that he was killed by a wild animal. This was a huge loss for Jacob. He said, "It's my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Then he tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, mourned for his son many days. He refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. He was his beloved son. You can understand why he was afraid to let Benjamin go. The uncertainty of the future because of what you had to go through in the past. Have you ever been uncertain? Have you ever been afraid, fearful of what may happen? You and I can be nervous, we can be apprehensive or even scared when things are beyond our control, and we fear of losing that which we hold dear. It's hard to let go of the people we love, to live in fear that things would only get worse. Our lives can go through many unexpected changes, or we may have lost family members through old age, illness, or an accident. Or we may have to move to find work, or whatever your circumstances are. When you and I face uncertainty, we should remember and trust that if God has called us to follow him, his plan for us is to bless us and keep us. In Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8, "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." And we read that, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus," in Philippians 4. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, 2 Corinthians 2:9. And even when we know these things, that the Lord promises to be with us in all our difficulties, in our trials, that it is easy to be fearful and troubled. Hold on to his promises and be certain of him. And this is what you can say, is that my strength, he is my strength and my portion. You see, Jacob had the covenantal promise made to his grandfather, Abraham, that God would make of him a great nation and bless him. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He knew that unless he could find food, God's promise could not be fulfilled if his family perished and starved to death. So Jacob sends his 10 sons to Egypt, but holds Benjamin back, afraid of what might happen to him. So he, even though knew the promises, he was still fearful and afraid that God would not fulfill those things because of the famine. So we see, firstly, that this is the case, that there's this fear. And secondly, the consequences of sin. Pharaoh made Joseph the governor over all the land, and the one who sold grain to all who came to him. Now Joseph's brothers arrived in Egypt to buy grain and came to Joseph. He recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. So they bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Then we read that Joseph remembered the two dreams in which his brothers and then his father Jacob would bow down to him. His dreams predicted what had now come to pass. And with that in his mind, and his brothers are before him now, Joseph has a plan. He has a plan. In the wisdom that had been given to him by God, he devises a plan for restoring the broken relationship with his brothers. And he decides to test them if they are truly repentant by challenging them. He wanted to see if there was any change in his brothers since they sold him into slavery. So he acted like a stranger to them, and he spoke roughly to him, we read, and accused them as being spies who had come to see the nakedness of the land. They answered Joseph, no, my lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all one man's sons. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies. And after hearing their reply, Joseph accused them a second time. You are spies. They answered Joseph, no, my lord. They said, your servants are 12 brothers, the son of one man in the land of Canaan. And in fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more. Joseph then accuses them the third time and tests them by telling them that their youngest brother must be brought. He says, send one of you and let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be tested to see whether there is any truth in you, or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. So he put them all together in prison for 3 days. And that's in Genesis chapter 42, verses 6 to 17. Three times, Joseph says that his brothers are spies. What is a spy? A spy is one who deceives others. And they had deceived their father Jacob. They were deceptive. And so Joseph uses that idea of spies to put pressure on them. A threefold accusation that would concentrate their minds on what they had done. And this pressure, while they're in prison for 3 days, is to see what they will say when they're released. You can imagine how their consciences would have tormented them. One writer says that God will sometimes take a course that his grace shall not be turned into wantonness. He often holds such upon the rack of a troubled conscience that they and others may fear to buy the pleasure of sin at such a rate. A rack was a method of torture. Torture, gradually increasing tension on a person's body by means of rope or chains. And have you ever had a conscience? Have you ever felt pressure or pain by a troubled conscience? Have you ever felt stress, perhaps, or felt deep guilt or shame over how you had behaved towards someone else in the past? Have you ever been tormented and haunted by past sins? Sometimes that can happen, even to God's people. We can be tormented. What have you? We all have a need to repent, both as Christians and unbelievers, and we need to repent of our sins every day. What will God have to do to make you repent? Both Christians and unbelievers. What lengths will God go to give you a repentant heart, to break that hard heart? Well, he may have to bring you firstly to have a fear of condemnation through the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the truth of his word. Those are the things God has given to us. His word and the conviction of the Spirit of God when we have sinned. And then grant us faith to repent and believe that your sins are forgiven in Christ's atoning sacrifice for you. And then you will know what is to be made right in God's sight, and your relationship to him, which was broken, which can be broken at times. You feel like you're distant from God and that your sins have just marred your ability to pray or to even have a relationship with God. Well, he restores that relationship when you come and repent. And this is what Joseph wants to test. He wants to restore the broken relationship with his brothers. So after 3 days, Joseph brings out his brothers and he puts them to the test. He tells them that he fears God. And he says in verse 18, "If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house. But you go and carry grain for the famine of your houses, and bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified, and you shall not die." The brothers are brought further into a desperate situation. The plan now includes not only to bring his brothers back to him in Egypt, but his father and his other full brother also, because they told him. And in the providence of God, Joseph now hears his brothers speaking openly to one another about him. They did not know that he didn't understand them because he spoke to them through an interpreter. But Joseph understood them. Then they said to one another, "We're truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore this distress has come upon us." And Reuben answered them, saying, "Did I not speak to you, saying, 'Do not sin against the boy'? And you would not listen. Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us." Verses 21 and 22. So 20 years had gone by. 20 years ago, they had deceived Jacob into thinking that Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. And now the sin of taking his tunic, dipping it in the goat's blood, casting him into a pit, sitting down to eat, and then selling Joseph to the traitors, that sin rises up within them. They say, "Don't sin against the boy. Now God is going to hold his blood. Is account, we're accountable for what we've done." Their deliberate betrayal of Joseph and the deceiving of their father Jacob now comes to haunt them and will be revealed in due course. And the Lord will now have them face the consequences of their sin. So Simeon now is placed in prison, and the rest of them will travel home and speak to their father Jacob to send them back to Egypt and take Benjamin with him. How did Joseph respond when he heard his brothers' distress and their confession of their sin against him? When he saw the way forward to be reconciled to his family, we read that he turned himself away from them and wept. Then he returned to them again and talked with them, Then he took Simeon from them, bound him before their eyes, and sent his brothers off back home. Joseph wept. Christ wept too over sin. Well, that's now the faith of certainty we want to see in God's purpose. God's purpose was more than just ensuring the revival of Jacob and his family through the provision of food. Now they are made ready for their journey back home from Egypt. Their sacks were filled with grain, and the money that they had bought the grain with. And as they set off on their journey, they stopped to feed one of the donkeys and saw the money in their sacks, and we read that their hearts failed them. They were afraid, saying to one another, "What is this that God has done to us?" They attributed their misfortune to God's judgment, and when they arrived home, they told Jacob all that had happened, that the Lord of the land in Egypt had called them spies and required them to prove that they were honest by leaving one of their brothers in Egypt and to bring back their younger brother. Then they showed Jacob the money in their sacks. Jacob responded to them, saying, "You have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin? All these things are against me." His faith is failing. He's seeing that his other son, Simeon's gone. Joseph's gone. Benjamin is going to go. All these things are against me. Then Reuben told his father to put Benjamin into his hands and he would bring him back. But he said, "My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead and he is left alone. If any calamity should befall him along the way in which you go, then you would bring him down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave." Again, Jacob's affirmation of his fear of losing Benjamin. Time moved on, and once they had eaten up all the grain, the famine continued to be severe. So Jacob tells his sons to go back to Egypt to buy us a little food. Maybe he'll be supplicating. Maybe we don't want a lot of food, just a little food. Because they're coming before Joseph. Then Judah tells his father to send Benjamin with him, that we may live and not die, both we and you and also our little ones. The situation is desperate. Jacob is brought to the point where he's got to give up all that he has. All that he has. Because you see, the governor over the land in Egypt warned them that they would not be seen by him unless their brother was with him. So now Jacob submits in faith to God's will. He tells his sons to take a present with them, to put in your vessels the best fruits, a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds, and double the money along with the money that was in your sacks. And take your brother also, he says. And may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. And he says, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. Jacob had now given everything, and he placed it all in God's hands. That's the place he was brought to believe but he gave all he had, all he had. His faithless struggle and his fear has given way to faith, to submit to God's will. He prayed that God would be merciful to him and to his family. We sin daily and must not allow our sin to go unconfessed. When we pray, we can ask the Lord to be merciful to us, and we cannot also offer up to God prayer for mercy upon our family. Can we do that? So then the men that took that present and Benjamin, and they took double money in their hand and rose and went down to Egypt, and they stood before Joseph. We said at the beginning of this evening that Joseph was the one man to go to deliver the people from physical death by supplying food for natural life. And this is a type of Jesus Christ, who is the only one to go to who delivers people from spiritual death, bringing eternal life. Are you willing to give up your all to be reconciled with God, to be right with God, to find forgiveness of sin by repenting and calling upon him afresh for fresh grace to serve him faithfully, and that relationship be the delight of your heart to serve the Lord, to give him your all? All that we have is his. We give it to the Lord. Give him our children as well. The ones that we're concerned about, perhaps. Some of us have wayward children, and we think about them and pray for them all the time, looking for blessing to be upon them. We can not only pray for ourselves, but pray for our family and all the things that we love and all the people that we are concerned about. And we are to go to Christ in faith, not afraid of the future, of what may happen, of how may things all be taken away from you that you love, and then you're just fearful and you don't trust and you do other things, make other decisions, or want to keep things to yourself. Confessing our sins, though, offering up ourselves and our families, knowing that we can believe in his promise and that he will be merciful to us and will guide us in all our ways, in our going out and in our coming in every day. Jacob's faithless struggle and fear has given way to faith to submit to God. When we doubt and are fearful, we are to commit all that we have to the Lord in prayer. And we are to take to ourselves the promises of God in whatever our circumstances are. And God's plan to bless his people, to multiply his people, and to provide a place where they can flourish is all about to happen. Jacob will return, and he will come. Joseph will reveal himself to his family, and he will be blessed, and he will be fruitful and multiply. How wonderful a mystery. What a mystery God's ways are at times. We don't know the end from the beginning, but we do know that he is a God is faithful and just to keep us and keep his promises to us, that he will bless us and be our God, and he will lead us and guide us all the days of our lives.